Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back. If you're new to me, I'm Shua Legra, the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. Everything we do here evolves around resilience. And this year, we're inviting some new friends to our discussion table here to kind of talk about resilience, what that looks like in their lives, how they are helping others find it, maintain it, you know, achieve it. And so today, I have Dr. Marnie with me. Welcome, Dr. Marnie.
Well, hi, thank you so much for having me on Grace and Hope.
Thank you for being here. Yeah. So for those of us and but the audience too who are new to you, do you mind just sharing, you know, who you are and what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm an author of several books. And prior to that, I was a high school teacher for 35 years in the Chicago suburbs, 12 of those years as an adjunct professor. My biggest role is that of a mother, and but I love being an author. And so I did move from the Chicago suburbs, a lifetime there, to a new life the last 3 years in the Caribbean.
Wow. Yeah. Take me there.
So much fun. It's a wonderful place to retire.
Can I only imagine. That sounds really good. It's wonderful. Wow. Well, thank you. And as you're talking, I'm just thinking all those years teaching high school. I have one high schooler in my home, two younger kids here, but I'm like, just having one, you know, it's hard work. And I cannot imagine be teaching high school for all these years. That's resilience in itself, right?
That is resilience, but I really enjoyed it. It was definitely a calling.
Yeah. And so maybe tell us a little bit, like, what was that shift like, you know, for all these years of teaching to, you know, kind of shifting to being an author and, you know, making that like your thing and, you know, focusing, you know, primarily on that?
Well, you know, it wasn't really part of the plan. The plan for my life, my American dream, really came to a screeching halt after I decided to leave my marriage after 27 years, realizing that it was abusive. And when you're dealing with someone that is malevolent, like I was, I lost everything. I lost my home, my money, my support system. And even I lost adult children to parental alienation. Wow. And so I had to really search within myself to rediscover the strength I had, the resiliency that I had within to survive, you know, what I experienced. And this happens to both men and women. It's not a gender or role specific situation, but it's extremely devastating and shocking. And, but I really rose above, and, I found writing to be extremely healing. And also the change of scenery was really nice as well. So, you know, it's, this isn't the life that I had planned, but it turned out to be the best life I never imagined I would be living such a wonderful life, and to be able to have the opportunity to express, you know, myself and also help other people, you know, find their strength and their resiliency through my writing. That's been very healing. So.
Wow. Yeah. Writing is so therapeutic for sure. You know, I can attest for that, you know, both as someone just loves to write and also knows, you know, published author. I totally get it. And, you know, often when also as a divorcee myself, I know that I, you know, met and worked with others when divorce hit, just like, whoa, you know, this is the end of me. Right. And like you say, you lose so much and there's so much left there to grieve, right? All the losses that sometimes people don't realize. It's, you know, it's not just divorce. It's everything underneath that, you know, that just.
Oh, yes. And actually, depending on who you're dealing with, I mean, the abuse really ramps up after, you know, especially if you're the person to discard the toxic person, you know, to file for divorce and say, I don't want anything to do with this person. His values did not align with mine. My values are of honesty, goodness, family, you know, just working together. And that was not the case. And so they set out to kind of destroy you whenever, you know, in any way that they can. They take everything from you, thinking that, you know, you will, you know, just be destroyed, you know, or go into a depression, or, you know, some people even take their lives. I have never been a suicidal person. I've never been a depressed person. In fact, I think because my values, you know, stayed true, and that I've always been a happy, loving person. I try to find the good in everything. So I looked at these challenges as really life lessons. And actually, in some ways, I have to thank the abusing people in my life, not just, you know, my ex-husband, but, you know, family and friends that kind of went along with this. They kind of call them flying monkeys. But I have to actually thank those people, because without that, I wouldn't have been jolted into my new life, my new reality. And I feel that I've really just come a long way. I'd rather surround myself with people that are good and honest and have the like-minded values that I do. And so I have that opportunity that, you know, if my light bulb moment didn't go on and I realized what I was dealing with, you know, I might've still been going along, but in a very abusive situation and very unhappy in many ways.
And I know it takes a lot of growth and, you know, the internal strength even, you know, to see those, you know, those challenges, adversity, if you want, as an opportunity. And even takes a, you know, another layer, if you want, of all of that to be grateful for those things, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. So that seeing the opportunity is hard enough, and then being grateful for it and even grateful for the people who, you know, might have not, you know, done us so well back then, but seeing like, oh, if it was not for this, I wouldn't be here, you know.
Right, and definitely. And there's something to say for that. In fact, you mm-hmm. know, I just finished my 4-book series, True Deceit, False Love, that just came out. Actually, the 4th book just came out, and what I say and what I really believe is that I live in gratitude. I think gratitude is very necessary for living a happy, blessed life. And so, yes, I had a lot of challenges, but you know, you look around the world, so many people have their own challenges. They might be different than mine, but they're still, you know, devastating and life-changing. But how we choose to respond to these challenges makes or breaks our future. And I think living with love, compassion, forgiveness, goodness, honesty, and gratitude, gives you grace and hope, just like your podcast title.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a choice. That's a good point there. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we have to choose, right, to be grateful. And there's so many research out there that you can, we just Google benefit of gratitude. You'll find one research after another, that the impact of it changes the way you see the world. It changes how you feel and experience life, and boost so many of your confidence, the joy, you know, focus and achieving your goals, all of that. Gratitude can do that and more, right? And so when we start kind of living a life of gratitude, it's with that decision, no matter what, I'm going to find the good in it. No matter what, this will work for my good, right? And so therefore I'll be grateful no matter what. And it really goes a long way. It's not just this wishful thinking, but it's intentionally finding the good in the challenges. Then you can find it and see as opportunity.
Yes, and I've always been that way. So it's not like this was newfounded. I think the challenges were mind-blowing that I had to deal with what I dealt with. I had no idea that I was surrounded with people that had malevolent intentions. I just, you know, was shocked to find out, you know, but So really having that foundation of gratitude and happiness really just carried over to this next phase in my life, which I'm really thankful for. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good, like, you know, having kind of building that toolbox before the adversity comes, right? Other people like, no, we'll wait until the crisis comes, like, how do I deal with it? But a way to start preparing, you know, for adversity, because life will happen. Like you said, many people around us, you might not know, you know, you might believe them to be a certain way, and then crisis happen, you're like, oh, now we see people's true colors. And it's hurtful, and it hurts, you know, the disappointment there. There's grieving all, you know, what you thought the relationship, the friendships, all of those were. So all that is real, but if you've been doing the work that like you did, you know, on your own and working on yourself and building that toolbox that, you know, like someone else was saying in the podcast, it's kind of, you know, resilience in advance, you know, so it's kind of you're kind of, you know, getting preparing kind of your toolbox so that when life comes, you already have the gratitude, you already have those, you know, that foundation of how, you know, what how you wanted to live your life and values that, you know, that matter to you, and so it become easier to, you know, to live out those values during the adversity if you already had them established. If not, then it's
Well,
even harder, right?
most definitely. But you know, there's hope for people that might not have had that foundation and those beliefs. And you know, but it is a choice. And I think our voices matter, just having these open conversations about how to handle adversity and you know, to be resilient, that you know, can help hopefully inspire other people that might find themselves in challenging situations and may not feel as equipped to handle them. You know, even my own children, you know, they're going to have challenges in their lives when they come to terms with, you know, the family dynamics and, you know, the guilt that they will most definitely feel with how they treated their mother and how they kind of, you know, I know at least I know that what I understand parental alienation. So I understand that it is not their fault and that, you know, they have a journey to go through. They need their light bulb to go on. And they are actually victims of abuse themselves. But I feel so bad that when their light bulb eventually goes on, the guilt that they might feel about, you know, how the choices that they made on how to respond, you know, to both parents. But you know what? We all have a journey and you know, goodness, I feel definitely prevails.
And then I'm sure because this is who you are, that when that time comes, that you have all the love and the grace, you know,
Oh,
to embrace
sure.
them and, you know, help them on that journey as well. Yeah, abuse, you know, really affects how we see the world, affects how we think. And until you kind of have, you know, that light bulb, you know, or sometimes people say kind of have like that veil ripped in front of you so you can see clearly, it is
Yeah.
hard to see what's truly happening.
Well, it's a journey. It's definitely a journey. And unfortunately, it takes a long time when you try to put the pieces of the puzzle together or connect the dots. And sometimes it takes until you've gone through something challenging, to finally look back and kind of figure out, you know, your role in it and what are some of the foundations that you had or intergenerational abuse that you had that made you a target. And so it's definitely a journey and but it can be a beautiful one in general, if you look at it that, you know, we're here on life on earth here to learn lessons.
And I think that mindset goes a long way. You know, when something hard happens, something difficult, something even what people call devastating, quote unquote, asking
Sure.
yourself, okay, what's the lesson here?
Yeah.
Right. And that goes along with helping us, you know, build our resilience. And so seeing as being the, you know, who is me, this is the end of me. It's like, okay, what do I learn from here? What do I take from here moving that I want to take moving forward? And what are the things that I need to just leave behind, you know, so that I can continue to move forward?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's a great point. Yeah.
definitely. So I'm just curious then, like I'm sure life in the Caribbean is so beautiful, but that transition, you know, how was it? Just kind of going from, you know, I'm assuming here in the US to there, you know, and adjusting to, you know, new life there. I'm sure, like you said, it's beautiful, but just my own curiosity, because I want to know.
Yeah, sure. No, it is a big adjustment. My partner and I traveled the world which was just wonderful. Spending a month in India, a month in Thailand, a month in Israel, going to Iceland, going to numerous states in the United States. We just love to travel and explore the world. And we kept on coming back to the Caribbean because I just love the ocean. He is an astronomer, an amateur astronomer, and loves to scuba dive. So it was a perfect fit. So after a few visits to the Caribbean, we just looked at each other and said, let's do it. Let's make the move. And so we did. We did have a lot of planning. I would say that we looked at over 80 homes over a 3-year period to find, we knew what island we wanted to go to, but there's a west end and an east end. So there's a big difference, even within this relatively smaller island. And so we had some decisions to make. And then, of course, during that time, I still was teaching high school. So we waited until I retired, and he coordinated his retirement with the same time as mine. And there were a lot of things to consider. It was a very healing time. I had to take care of myself during this time because I was still, devastated with the significant losses, when all of a sudden your children are ripped away from you, or you're homeless, you don't have a place to go, and you have to try to figure out how to do this especially when all your money is depleted, and you've got one legal battle after another. In fact, the legal battles, I've been divorced almost a decade, and my ex is still taking me to court. To get pension money, and I'm a real fair, honest, reasonable person. I have always done the right thing as far as whatever was ordered, whatever is in the best interest of the children, that type of thing. But not everyone approaches those things with honesty and correct documents. And, people manipulate things. They, and unfortunately, abusers will obsess over you, even if they're upset that you've moved on, even if they've moved on, they really haven't. You continue to be their obsession. So there was always, those kind of challenges to deal with before the big move. And then it was a matter of combining households, with my partner. He had two homes and he needed to downsize and, figure out what we really needed. And so then we eventually made the move, which was wonderful. And we are now just living in paradise. There are some adjustments, of course, but we have become more self-sustaining, I would say. We have our own hydroponics farm. We use cistern water, so there's not city water. We have solar, so we don't have to worry about, being on the grid. So we are living more of a rustic life, but it's just, we're in paradise. And so every day is an adventure, which is nice. I mean, of course, I miss a few of the conveniences that, I was used to for my lifetime. I mean, we don't have the dollar store. We don't have Walgreens. We don't have Costco. We don't have a lot of restaurants. Well, we do have beautiful restaurants, but we don't have some of the ones we really liked in the Chicago area. But that's okay. It's very exciting to leave some other things behind just to open up your experiences to new things. Yeah. So it's really been, and we're also in the rainforest on many acres. So it's just a different environment, but it really is nice. But I was actually fortunate that I had retired from my career as a teacher. So the timing was right. So being an author, spending my days writing and of course enjoying the beautiful island, it's really exciting for me. So, but it was an adjustment. Yeah.
Oh, so that just sounds beautiful. And I can't imagine, like, I know even when I write, I love being in nature. So sometimes I'll go to like the state park here. I can sit and just, look at the water at the creek, and the kids are playing. And so I just, when you say rainforest, and I'm like, whoo, I can just imagine sitting there and be able to write there and just, wow, just all the inspiration and just the calm, the peace, and all the birds and all the animals in the background. Just, I can't imagine.
And actually, being surrounded in nature is an extremely healing
Definitely, definitely,
experience. And you
definitely.
know, it grounds you. And it also, we get back to that, what we talked about with gratitude. You know, you can look at the beauty of this earth and the people and the places, and it's just so much to be thankful for. So it's, I love to surround myself in that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Nature is very therapeutic, whether you're writing in it or just walking in it or even just
Right?
watching it, on the screen. It
Yeah.
is very therapeutic. Definitely. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And so where can people find you, connect with you, find your books and, and kind of follow your journey?
Well, sure. Well, the best place is really my website, which is the title of my 2020 Best Books Award-winning spiritual fiction. So it is www.godcametomygaragesale.com.
Love it. Love it.
And that is the best place. You know, you can find out about me. My books are all with Balboa Press, Hay House, and they're available on at the publisher there at Barnes and Noble, but on Amazon as well. So just I have the latest book of poetry is also available in hardcover, but all of the other books are soft cover, and they're available in e-versions as well. So, you know, check out my website, and under the happenings tab, I put the different events that my speaking engagements or book signings, that type of thing. But I also highlight other influencers on my website. So, my website is really kind of informational for those that feel that they resonate with some of the things I've talked about, or they are also going through some challenges themselves. They can kind of look at what I have said about it and some of the conversations I've had with other people.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. We'll definitely be
Sure.
sharing that link and encourage everyone listening, watching, go check it out, go learn and acquire these books and see, what Dr. Marnie's up to. And so they continue to learn from her. Again, thank you for all that you do. Thanks for sharing your story and thanks for being here.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, too. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, everyone, be well.
Thank you.